You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English.
How sweet was Arsenal's victory over the reigning champions of Europe, Real Madrid? How good was Declan Rice and his two magical free kicks? Will Arsenal win the Champions League this year? And what are some ways to say thank you in English?
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Footglish podcast. My name is Denek Lucas and I'm the host of this project. It's a podcast for English learners around the world who want to improve or who would like to improve their English through football. And as always, there is a guest and today it's none other than Carl. Welcome back, Carl.
Hi Denek, thanks a million for having me again. Great to be back on under such good circumstances.
Exactly. We're definitely going to be talking today about the Arsenal win, a fantastic result against Real Madrid. But first things first, a little birdie told me, Carl, that you've started your own podcast now.
Yes, this is true. This is true, Zdenek. After many years of threatening to set up our own podcast, fearing for what people might actually think of us when they hear our football views that we usually keep behind closed doors, myself and my housemate, we decided to set up our own podcast. It's called TLC Sports.
TLC, what does it stand for? You have to explain that.
So TLC is it's a phrase that some of your listeners and viewers might know from tender loving care. However, my housemate Brian, who's my co-host on the podcast, his dog that he got 2 years ago, his name is Ted Lasso Cantwell. So TLC comes from Ted Lasso Cantwell, so named. But the podcast is called On Current Form. So TLC Sports Podcast On Current Form. We're kind of workshopping the names.
Long name.
trying to shorten it down.
Definitely. How can I find it if I search for it online? So what?
Yes, so you can find it.
For me to find it?
Hopefully it'd be easy enough for you to find it. We do have a YouTube channel, which I put the podcasts onto as well as Spotify. So if you have Spotify or YouTube, you can find it on both of those.
Okay. We'll put the link in the description of this podcast then to make it easier for the listeners to check it out. But it's, for me, it's fantastic news that you have started your own podcast about football because now you are my colleague. That's great. You know, so you will have even more insight than you normally do about football games. So that's why it's a great opportunity to have you here again. And I think, you know what we're going to talk about.
I wonder too.
That magical night that we all witnessed. I don't know if all of us, but those of us that follow football, follow English teams, and definitely if you are an Arsenal fan like the two of us, you will have known about Arsenal beating Real Madrid 3-0 at home in the Champions League quarterfinal. How does that sound, Carl?
Oh, music to my ears, Zdenek, is what it is. It's absolutely fantastic. I have to say, beforehand, I wasn't overly confident that we could, you know, score that many goals, certainly. But my God, just by far the best European night I've seen under Arteta and maybe even under Wenger or previous over the last 10 years at least. I can't remember a better night.
Honestly, such a... I don't know, what makes it even better is the fact that we beat the reigning champions, right? So they are the ones who have been winning it so many times in the last decade. I don't know how many times, at least 5 times, maybe 6 or something.
Yeah, it's 6 of the last 11 they've won.
oh my goodness, right? And now they won it again, right, last year. So beating such a team in such a manner, in my opinion as well, because you know what can happen sometimes if you have a bad day in the office, right? Like, it's football. You play well, you have like 20 chances and you score no goals, and then the opponent has one half chance and they score. It happens in football. We've seen it before. It wasn't the case, was it?
It sounds an awful lot like a lot of Arsenal games so far this season.
Smash and grabs, yeah?
Yeah. A lot of chances created by us, but not necessarily putting away the chances created.
But this was a deserved victory, wasn't it?
100%. 100%. I can't remember the last time we were this dominant against this quality of a side, you know, perhaps Manchester City game where we won 5-1, but even that was an outlier. Before that, I can't remember. Just from front to back, I mean, I'm sure we'll go on to heroes of the week at some point, but there's so many to choose from, so many different, you know, players that stood out from their performances. It was just fantastic to watch from front to back.
Exactly. Well, we have to mention especially one name. Declan Rice scored two world-class free kicks, right? So I think we haven't seen a converted free kick from Arsenal since maybe 2021 or something? 2021? Yeah. Martin Odegaard scored last time. So like so many years even. So many games without us scoring a free kick. And then Declan Rice, of all people. I mean, he's good. He has been taking corners, right? But I didn't know that he was that good.
Yeah, like when he first arrived, and, you know, like talking to some West Ham fans, you know, they said, you know, what you see from Declan Rice physically is obviously quite apparent what you're going to get from him. You know, someone who's very strong, tall, is able to drive with the ball at his feet. But certainly something that a lot of them had said to me was that he is so technically gifted from dead ball situations. And it's amazing that he hasn't, you know, been our free kick taker up until now, at least those direct free kicks up until now, if that's what he's had in his locker, you know?
Yeah, I think he's going to be the free kick taker for the rest of the season. At
probably
least maybe even beyond that now. After this.
Definitely.
It's the type of shots that the goalkeeper really can't save. Even the goalkeeper of the qualities of Courtois.
Oh yeah. I mean, and I think that kind of adds to it as well. The fact that it's, you know, Thibaut Courtois in goal. Like, we often see, you know, if you ever look at those YouTube compilations of the best free kicks ever scored, and you know, a lot of the time the keeper maybe doesn't position himself in the best way. It's often a great strike, but you know, Thibaut Courtois is a top rated keeper, one of the best in the world. Mm. And to do that not once but twice, was simply incredible. Now, I saw a lot of pundits afterwards kind of saying that, you know, there should have been five in the wall for the first one, which meant that he wouldn't have been able to go around. But I don't think anyone can say anything against the second one, which is literally just postage stamp goal, as they say.
So brilliant. And then we added one more goal. Miguel Mourinho. How do you pronounce his name? Merino.
Mourinho. Merino. I would say Merino.
Merino, because there is also a famous manager, Jose Mourinho. Yeah. So I keep confusing those two, mispronouncing his name. But that player, honestly, he has been getting better and better.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's one of those things where Arteta has said in numerous interviews that, like, Mourinho knows that it's obviously not his position that he's playing in, but he's filling in, he's doing a job, and that he's like learning all the time. He's always asking questions. He always wants to know how can he improve himself and do better. And maybe his movement for the goal wasn't the, you know, the typical number nine in the box movement, but his instincts kicked in. And whether it was, I don't know, it could have been a set play that they had been working on from before, but certainly not something I would have always thought, you know, those situations you'd see the likes of of our attackers in years gone by, the likes of Olivier Giroud, would always be darting towards the front post or the back post to kind of nick it in at the back post. But yeah, just dropping off, and the contact that he got on the ball as well was incredible.
Perfect. Yeah, it was absolutely spot on. And so I think it's just for the keeper, like, stood zero chance. Like, he couldn't, no keeper would save those three shots. They were just perfect finishes. And then on top of that, Arsenal had a lot of other chances that the keeper saved. Like, he was one of the best players of Real Madrid, I thought, on the night.
He had a great time. He had a great performance and conceded three times. Yeah.
I would have given him, like, I don't know, at least 7 or maybe 8 out of 10 for that performance.
Definitely. The double saves were incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. So any other performers that stand out for you in that game?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people will point the finger at, say, Bukayo Saka coming back and performing very well, or Miles Lewis-Skelly, you know, stepping into midfield, being very young. But one player in particular that I want to highlight is Thomas Partey, and how well he, you know, controlled the middle of that midfield. It's as good a performance I've seen from him. In a long, long time. Just like, he never seemed under pressure. He never seemed out of control. It's one of those things. It's a sign of a good midfielder when they look like they have time on the ball. And he always looked like he had time on the ball yesterday. Yeah. Just picked Madrid apart, intercepted when he needed to, stepped up, and just dictated the game from start to finish, I think.
I think Arteta has really managed to sort of transform the team mentality. That's the main thing for me, yeah? So I know, like, when he started, and even from the Wenger era, everybody kept saying that Arsenal were soft touch, yeah? And that we were, you know, but what Arteta did, he's a bit of a... He has this cynical sort of trait in him, right? Doesn't he? He's a bit like
playing
that.
For Rangers like, will do like that.
Other fans hate him. Other fans can't stand him.
Oh, they hate him. They hate him. And I feel like if he wasn't my manager, I'd hate him too, because he's one of those characters that you just complains and complains and gives out, and he's always very animated at the side of the pitch. And as a fan, you're there going, oh, I love that. I love the passion, love the energy. But as an opposing fan, well, as someone who lives in the same house as a Manchester United fan, I can tell you, they don't like us at all.
Wait, so that's Brian, your mate from the podcast, is a Manchester United fan.
Yeah. Well, now, he was happy for Arsenal to do well yesterday. He says he'd like to see Arsenal do well. Which I'm trying
attitude.
Not to look at as a kind of condescending, you're doing very well, you know?
That's a good attitude, especially considering that you don't like to see Manchester United do well.
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
I can tell. I know. Okay, well, what else can we say about this? I mean, how significant could it be perhaps for the rest of the season? Does that mean now that the tie is over? Or is it not done yet? Is it half of the job done, or is it 70% of the job done? What do you think?
Well, I think it's definitely more than half the job done. I think any Arsenal fan with an ounce of sense before this game would have taken a 1-0 win, or a 2-1 win, or something like that, going back to the Bernabeu.
Possibly a
draw, exactly. To
keep
to
us get. In the tie, yeah. Just to keep
exactly.
us in.
Exactly. Being in the tie with a chance to win in a one-off game is definitely something that I certainly was expecting at the very least. But the season as a whole, I don't know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to help us really kick on in the league. I think the league is definitely done, barring some catastrophic fall off if Liverpool lose the rest of their games, basically.
If Liverpool lose every single game, we would have to win every single hour game, and that's never going to happen. So.
Yeah. But certainly it does put a much more positive spin on the season as a whole, I think, being able to do this. I think if they what they really need to do is they need to get to the final, I think, in order for this season to be considered somewhat of a success. Because it's not really a success if you haven't got any silverware, but which is, I guess, a good thing, though, now as an Arsenal fan to be thinking like that and to be viewing the season like that. Because before, top four was a success. And before, you know, challenging top three, even to second place would have been viewed as a success. But now, you know, second place isn't good enough. It's we need the silverware
and
now.
We can't, I'm sorry, but even the Champions League final, it's not going to do it for me. And the main reason is because Tottenham have done it.
Well, there you go. We have to go one better.
not very long ago as well. I still have it in vivid memory, so I don't want to see that. Like, if let's go for it, you know, let's go all the way then. Like, beating Real Madrid, I think now we will be feared. We have become a force to be reckoned with, hopefully.
Yeah, I think we can't really talk about the game yesterday and, of course, next Wednesday as well without, like, talking about the fact that Madrid are very understaffed in a lot of places, you know, like, the likes of Tchouameni was missing yesterday because of suspension, but then they've, like, two of their starting back four are out with serious long-term injuries, with Militao and Carvajal being out. So I think,
and one got a red card now as well, right? One of them.
Camavinga. I think Camavinga was going to miss the next game anyway because he was on a yellow. So getting a red, I guess, just sets him back to zero. Gets him reset. But yeah, certainly I think playing Valverde at right back, while it's done well, it's like brought them a lot of success in a lot of games, especially in La Liga. They missed him in midfield. Camavinga and Modric just, they couldn't control the game the way, I suppose Modric is, what, 40 years old now, so it's tough for him to control a game the way he used to.
But they still have Bellingham, they have Mbappe, come on, like, those players are like...
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. So. I think that on balance as well, we have had our share of injuries as well. Obviously, Saka coming back from that long-term injury and Gabriel not being around.
Yeah.
But like, the fact that we aren't speaking about Kivior at all.
Exactly.
Today, like, none of the analysis is talking about Kivior at all. Just shows how great of a job he did.
Yeah.
Filling
and the fans generally have been thinking that he is the weakest link, or like, when you saw him in the lineup, you get a bit worried, but no, he was all right. So,
yeah, like, yeah.
Everybody just put in such a shift. And I think it was something, Arteta must have prepared the players so well psychologically. Like, that for me was the main thing. Because if you're facing Real Madrid, it's a different kind of game than playing against, I'm sorry, like Brentford, Crystal Palace and these kind of teams. But maybe you know, that City victory, and like, there have been a lot of green shoots of us not being, like I said, a soft touch anymore, like us being able to deliver in these big games. And even Declan Rice spoke about the fact in the post-match interview that he loves these kind of games, and that he's able to just, he's like in trance or something when he plays these games. You know, I saw that when I was obviously following West Ham when he was there, and he's just like, he likes to be in that position, you know, in the position of a leader, often when the odds are against him as well. That's something that he thrives in.
For sure. And I think that what you've just said, leadership, that is something that for the longest time we haven't had. And then you look out onto the pitch yesterday, and you can use two hands to count the amount of leaders that were out there on the pitch.
That's true. Yeah.
Leaders, not just in the way that they play, but the way that they hold themselves, the way that, what they demand from each other. You know, like, the fact that we have Calafiori, Ben White, Gabriel, Tomiyasu missing from our back line.
Was Timber playing?
Yeah. So Timber,
oh, he was playing.
He's one of those players that I think steps
just
up.
Came
and
back.
He just came back. Yeah. I think he's just like, the fact that Timber is like, Vinny was so quiet. Vinny was so quiet yesterday.
Vinny.
Mbappe. Mbappe obviously had. he certainly was very, he was very quiet. Mbappe did have a few chances, which I think, going back to the Bernabeu, those kind of chances, you can't be giving away too many of those. But certainly, yeah, Timber just was so, so strong on the right-hand side. Lewis Skelly just seems like such a lockdown for that left-back spot. One of the best in the league now, I think we can probably say.
Definitely.
Yeah, and then obviously Saliba at the back is always going to be just the Rolls Royce in defense.
Which is the nickname he has been given, right?
Mm.
Yeah, Carl, this is great news, obviously. So now we can look forward to the second leg next week against Real Madrid at the Santiago Bernabeu Stadium. Mm-hmm. Let's see what they have in store for us. Hopefully, if we lose, it won't be by a large margin, so that we qualify to the semi-final. And then you're three games away from winning it, right? So anything could happen.
Anything's possible, yeah. And against a team that we like, possibly against a team that we've already beaten in the competition already in PSG, or a team that we're very familiar with, Aston Villa. So the draw does seem, you know, like one that you would think we'd be able to pass through, given if we put in a performance like we did last night or somewhere close to last night.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think we can make it then?
To the final or to the next round? Two very different questions, Zdenek.
Can we make it until tomorrow?
Well, I don't know. I definitely can. I've watched so many highlights and breakdowns and, you know, fan watch-alongs today and last night. I could definitely make it through. I think that definitely we can definitely get through to the next round, and then, you know, with the confidence that would bring. Exactly. Yeah. Anything can happen.
Definitely. I think the focus, there will be so much focus now. And there is, there, as you said, there are enough leaders, there's so much experience, and there is also a lot of quality and sort of like youth energy as well. So I think it's a great, great elixir, great combination. Obviously in the league, some inconsistencies, so there's still stuff to fix. But now maybe, because it's like you only have one shot, like you mess up, you're out, kind of thing, right? I know there are two games, semi-final, but you know what I mean. You can't afford to like make too many mistakes. So maybe we will go for it then.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think the only team that's been the same or on par or better than us in the Champions League in terms of defense has been Inter. And, you know, they obviously did a number on Bayern, but in a knockout tournament, having such a strong defense like that is always going to give you a chance, because if you don't concede too many, you don't need to score too many to win.
That is true. That is a great equation. Thank you for all your mathematical knowledge that you bring to this podcast, Carl.
It's a real Michael Owen take.
lovely to have you on the podcast again, and all the best to you, Arsenal, and to your new podcast as well.
Thanks very much today. Thanks for having me, as always.
You're very welcome. Take care.
Welcome back to the Language Corner. Did you miss me? Well, the Food Grish podcast is back. I don't know if you missed the Food Grish podcast. Basically, you can always let me know in the comments on the YouTube channel, on the Teachers Zdenek YouTube channel, where these episodes get published as a video. Obviously, this is a podcast, so there is also an audio version. Whichever version you prefer, one thing is for certain, and that's the fact that there is always the Language Corner, which is the part of the show where I go through some language which appeared in the episode and I clarify it. Because I'm an English teacher, so it is my job actually to do that. And hopefully you will be able to come along for a ride, you will be able to benefit from it as English learners, and you learn something new. That is the idea. The idea is that you develop your listening skills, because, you know, everybody needs a lot of exposure to English language, different accents, And it should be different topics, but let's be honest, if it's your passion, the thing that you're really interested in, and I hope that you are into football, and then I think you learn a little bit faster because you don't consider it hard work. It all comes to you naturally because you're enjoying yourself. Hopefully, that's the method to the madness, basically. That's the idea of this podcast. Hopefully it works. I'm pretty sure it does. I have studied this stuff in university as well, so it should work. But let's talk about some ways we can say thank you in English. At the beginning of the podcast, I welcomed my guest Carl to the Food English podcast, and his response was, "Thanks a million for having me back on," which means thanks or thank you for inviting me onto the podcast again. He said, "Thanks a million," which is a nice little expression, a nice little way to say thank you. Another one, of course, is thanks. That's, I guess, more informal and kind of friendly sounding and very short as well, right? You can, of course, always say thanks a lot. And then another one that is a little bit more formal, and I often see it at the end of emails, is many thanks. This one is more formal and definitely kind of British. My favorite way of saying thank you, however, is cheers, which is a word that can be used for a lot of things. For example, when you're having a toast, when you have, you know, some pints of beer, and before you drink, you say cheers, right? But also it's used in British English to say thank you. So if you buy something in a shop, or a waiter brings you your meal in a restaurant, you can just say cheers. And there's one more, which is also informal, like cheers. And that one is more common in Northern Ireland, and that's ta. I don't think it's just in Northern Ireland, but that's what ChatGPT is suggesting here. I've heard it from other Brits as well. Like, I've heard it from the English, ta. But I think it's maybe slightly more old-fashioned. Yeah, I think it's not as popular as it used to be before. And then there are some other ways to say thank you. You can say something like, "I really appreciate it," right? It's kind of saying thank you. I've heard people say, "Thank you very much indeed." And even, "Thanks ever so much." And then you can also say, much obliged. Much obliged, which is, again, a bit old-fashioned and formal, but still understandable, of course, to people. Okay, well, I hope this episode has been useful. I hope you learned some new ways to say thank you. And I think the main idea of this episode, of course, was to talk about Arsenal and their fantastic win over Real Madrid. What do you make of this game? What do you think? Do you think Arsenal will make it through? Please let me know in the comments. And I can't stress this enough, how important comments are for this podcast. You may have noticed that I haven't published many episodes lately. You know why? Because I have been a bit, let's say, lazy. I was feeling a bit lazy. And one thing is for sure, if I saw more comments from you, more likes, it would push me more. So please give me some feedback, because then I will have more motivation to keep going, right? That's the idea. And if you want to give me even more motivation, you could even support this podcast on my Hero Hero page. You will find everything in the description of this episode, including a link to Carl's YouTube channel where you can find his podcast. Okay, that's it from me. Thank you very much, and speak to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye. Cheers.